Well, I am so excited tonight to have the privilege and the honor to talk to you. God is so good. He makes you do things that you don't want to do and that you're scared to do and that's bigger than yourself. And speaking in front of you guys is one of those things for me. I get nervous just like the next person, and I get scared, but I know one thing, that God is here to speak through me, and I'm going to allow him to, and I'm trusting in him that he gave me a message that's from the heart, and I know it's going to be good, and I know it's going to apply to your life, but your job is to open yourself to him. Don't be closed. Don't, think about other things. Open yourself and receive from him tonight, because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you things that I don't even say, but things that you need to hear. So let's pray real quick, and I just want you to put that switch, turn it on the inside while we're praying here. And let's pray for each other while we're praying too. Okay, Father God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for each one of the people that are here tonight. God, I know that you have a message for them. I know that this message is for them. And Lord, I pray that we open our hearts. We open our minds, God. We open our ears. We hear you clearly. And Lord, I thank you for direction. I thank you, Father, for the steps that these people need to make in their lives, Lord, that you're giving them those things. You're imparting wisdom to them right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that whatever has been going on during the day or during this week, Lord, that we can let go of it and we can give it to you. We can cast our cares on you because you care for us. You love us so much and you care for us so much. Why do we hold on to things? And Lord, I thank you that we can let go of those things and trust you completely and trust you wholly. And Lord, we just pray for each other right now. Lord, whatever people are dealing with, help them in Jesus' name. Help their situations. Lord, I thank you for healing in bodies. I thank you, Father, for freedom from sickness, disease, from pain in Jesus' name. Free from depression, free from fear in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for free from worry, anxiety, anything that's holding us back from doing your will, doing your plan. And Lord, we just give it to you right now, and we open our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. When I was preparing for this message, it's kind of funny because I told Nate, I said, just in case I back out of this thing, you might want to prepare something because I get nervous. But I told him that, and then it wasn't probably 30 minutes later, God dropped the message in my heart. And I was like, well, Nate, never mind. I think I got this thing. Me and God, we got this thing. We've been talking about family matters. And when I thought about family matters, I'm thinking family issues, family problems, family things going on. But God said it to me in a different way. He said, family matters. And to me, it was like, it hit me real hard. I was like, whoa, I didn't think of it that way. Family matters. And I want you to know the power of family tonight. You know, God, he went to great lengths to have a family. He created Adam and Eve. They messed up. Then he tried to get us back through Jesus, but it took a really long time and a lot of people. And then finally Jesus came. He died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. That took a lot of power, you know. And then now we have the opportunity to have Jesus in our heart and we're connected back to God. But that wasn't just, it didn't take just one sentence to do that. You know, it took this whole Bible. I mean, that's a lot, you know. It took everything to get you to him. He cares about family. You are his family. And he loves you deeply. And he did the ultimate for you. Because he cares for you so much. And I think about families and I think about, families nowadays are so different. We have all kinds of families. We have two-parent families. We have blended families. We have single-parent families. We have grandparents raising their grandkids. You know, we have all different types of families. And I believe God created us in diversity and He wants that for us. But the thing with families is that no matter what kind of family you have, no matter what kind of family you came from, God still loves you and He still cares about your family. I know a lot with single parent families and blended families, it can be not easy sometimes. But God's grace and His mercy is there to help your family in whatever situation you're in. Now, we're all in a different place. Some of us are married. Some of us have kids. Some of us aren't married yet, but want to be married one day. Some of us have been married, not married anymore, have adult children. You know, we're just all in different places. And I believe that through this message that you're going to hear the power of family. I mean, that's really what this is all about, family. And I was thinking about when I was younger, I used to love at night before I went to bed, I would lay in bed and I would talk to God. That was my time to talk to God when nobody was bothering me. I had a bunch of brothers and sisters, so it was never quiet in my house. The only time it was really quiet was when everybody was asleep. So I get in my room, turn off the lights, get in my bed, and I start talking to God, and I would just say everything, and I'd cry, you know, and I'd tell Him all my problems, and then I'd tell Him, you know, how much I loved Him, and I was like, you know, God, I really wish I could just give You a big old hug, you know, I wish He could give me a big old hug. You know, sometimes you just want a hug. Do you ever just want a hug? Does somebody hug me before I cry? You know, I've totally been there, and, you know, I had, you know, many issues when I was younger with my family and things, and you go through all that and you just want a big old hug. Well, later in life, I didn't think about it after that, but later in life when I started dating Nate, you know, when you're in love and you just want to be with each other all the time and you want to be beside each other all the time. And well, we started dating and, we decided we weren't going to kiss for a while. We were just saying, we're not going to do it right now. We'll talk about it later. So we didn't kiss. So all we had was hug. And so hug was the most passionate hug you ever had. No, I'm just kidding. Never mind. we would sit on the couch, watch TV or whatever, you know, and you just wanted to hug each other. You know, that time where you just wanted to hug each other and you didn't want to let go. Do you remember that? Have you ever had that? Okay. Well, it dawned on me one day, and it just hit me, you know, that God's love, how He hugs us, is through our family, through our significant other or through our children. And it just hit me. I said, I bet this is the way God hugs us. I bet this is the way God hugs us. And I know Nate was looking at me like, you are weird, but I love you, but you're weird. But I think that He put us with a family because He loves us and He wants to show us God's love, His love. Think about it. God is love. And where do you receive love a lot of times? It's from your family, from your spouse, from your children. And that love is God. And so when you're showing each other love, and you're caring for your family, and you're, you know, hugging your spouse or hugging your children, think about God's love is in this, and that He cares for you so much that He puts you in a family with the people that you are in. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to look at your neighbor. Look at him. I want you to give him a hug. Come on now. I know you don't know all your neighbors. Give them a hug. I see some good hugs out there. That's nice. No passionate hugs here, okay? And just realize tonight, That hug was your God hug. God's hugging you. He says he loves you. Ooh, I got 20 bucks. Nice. Somebody's putting money at my feet. That's nice. No, it fell out of my pocket. And a cool thing is that that's the one thing that we all have in common. We all are a family. We all have families, and we all are family. You know, some of us, we've lost family, you know, in the past. And some of us don't live close to our family. Like Nate and I, for the longest time, when we were here in Augusta, our family was 2.5 hours away. We didn't have any family here until our mother-in-law came and moved this past summer. Woohoo! Family. But we didn't have any family here, so it was like, even though we have family, it didn't feel like we had family. You understand what I mean? And I know some of you don't have family here, and it feels that way sometimes. But you know, even if, you know, you, all of your family were gone, and you didn't live close to them, you still, God created a second family. It's like, we can't get away from this family thing, right? He gave us our blood family. He gave us all of our, you know, cousins, aunts, uncles, children, grandchildren. He gave us all of that. And then he said, you know what? I'm going to give you another family. And that's our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So even if you didn't have any blood family, you still have a family. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? When I looked up the scriptures for family, there's like 200 and something scriptures in the Bible about family. It wasn't surprising to me because I know that it's family's important to God. So if you look around here, this is your family. And I found this scripture that I thought was really cool. In Psalm 68:6, it says, God sets the lonely in families. Isn't that cool? He set the lonely in families. And if you think about, that's what he did for Adam. You know, when Adam was created, he made all these animals. He had this perfect place for him to live in. And he's like, yeah, you happy now? But there was something missing. It was like, I don't have somebody that's like me, you know? And there was all these really cool animals, and I'm sure he talked to the animals, and I'm sure he was like, what you want to eat today? You know, I mean, he had some companionship in those animals. Sure, just like you can have a companionship in your cat, your dog, you know, your pet. But it was like something's missing, and God saw it. And he loved Adam, his family, so much, he said, I got to do something about this. So he took Adam's rib, made Eve, and then they were, yeah, there comes the passionate hug. No. And then they were complete. The two became a unit, and they became one. And see, he set you in a family too, just like he set Adam and Eve up. He set you in a family. The family that you were born in, you didn't have a choice. Darn. You know. But the family that you married to, you do have a choice. And you better take that choice, you know, not lightly. Take it seriously. Because that's a big decision. And if you've talked to anybody, family, their families, and your family, when you become one, it's not always easy to work all that out. So you want to be sure that you're marrying somebody who God prepared for you. Because I tell you, it's not easy, but it's good when you know that they're the one for you. And I love my family very much. My dad, he used to crack me up because he would do these family devotionals, you know. And I appreciate that so much about him. But how many have ever been in a family devotional before? Anybody? Well, my dad, he would like to read a chapter in a book in the Bible, and he would start from the beginning and he would read through it a little bit, and then we'd talk about it. And then the next day we'd read through a little bit and we'd talk about it, you know. Well, one day he begins reading all the scriptures about so-and-so begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so. You know what the begats are? Like, these are their sons, the father and the son. Well, I looked at my dad and I'm like, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to get in trouble. I was just like, seriously? Seriously? I mean, what are we going to get out of the begats? I mean, I'm trying to find some God inspiration in the begats, but it just ain't happening, Dad, you know. Can we skip that part and get to the good stuff? You know, I always thought that. I'm like, seriously, do we have to read them for 10 minutes? But I listened. And then later on, I kind of figured out, you know, some of the reasons why the begats are in the Bible. For one, it shows the lineage of Jesus, and we can mark back to where he came from, which is really cool. You know, if you want to study that, that's really neat. Now that you're older, that you can understand it, and when you're 5, totally doesn't make sense, but that's okay, Dad, because it taught me to love God. It taught me to put him first, and that a father, along with a mother, can lead a family spiritually. And that was really cool. But I think one of the main reasons God put that in the Bible, other than the lineage of Jesus, is because he wanted you to know that family was important. He named every single one of them. Seriously. Every single one. And I think it's kind of funny, you know, that he named every single one. But he wanted us to know that family was so important to him. And, you know, if you study everything out, it's so crazy how Jesus came to be and all the people that were involved and who he came from actually is so cool. So if you ever get the chance, please look into that. But, you know, you can think, you know, why I didn't have such a great upbringing, or my childhood was not that awesome, or maybe you think it was actually horrible. Everybody had something in their background, something in their childhood, something that was part of their family that was rough, you know, that was dysfunctional. Every person comes from a dysfunctional family. Did you know that? Every person comes from a dysfunctional family. Even if you think about it, even Jesus himself came from a dysfunctional family. Do you think Mary and Joseph were always just nice to him all the time? Or do you think they ever got angry at him when he was trying to, you know, hammer the nail into the wall and got a big hole in the wall because he's trying to learn his carpentry skills? You know, he's probably did some things, spilled the milk when he was an infant, you know. He probably did some things that he got in trouble for. And I'm sure his parents had some flaws. But even Jesus came from a dysfunctional family. But if you think you had a horrible childhood, I understand. I had some rough stuff in my background too. And I always want to go back to Adam and Eve. You know, God had this perfect plan for Adam and Eve to live in this garden and to have everything good. But then they made some choices that caused some consequences that weren't that great. And just like your parents, you know, God did set us in families, but like your parents, they had choices that they made. And sometimes parents don't always make the right choices. In fact, they make wrong choices a lot. And if you're a parent, you know that you're not perfect. How many can testify to that? And the choices that you make as a parent do affect your children. That's just how it goes. But God, you know, if you had a rough background, God didn't plan that or want that for you. But the cool thing is that he gave you the power to rise above what happened to you in the past and to really overcome all those things. And he made you able to be greater than anything that you could even imagine or think. He created you with a purpose, with a plan, and he puts you in a place so that you could learn. And then he wants you to take whatever happened to you in the past and be able to let go of it and move past it and grow and use it, you know, to really reach out to others around you, because there's others that's gone through rough stuff. But your past, it doesn't define you. You're much greater than your past. And like you know, when you become a Christian, your past is wiped away. Your sins are forgiven. But think about it. Not only are your sins forgiven, but all those things that happened to you that maybe have hurt you emotionally or physically or mentally or whatever, they passed away along with all that other stuff. And you know, sometimes the people that have come from the roughest background, they have these amazing testimonies how God has transformed their lives, and they've come through it, and they were able to do these mighty, awesome, wonderful things with their life. And I love that, because it shows God's transforming and healing power, and that is His true plan for each one of us, to be able to come out of it and to be better on the other side, even though things are rough sometimes. And you know that He can turn any situation, any family situation around for the good. And that brings me to, you know, we were talking about the power of family, but also the power of forgiveness. I just want everybody to think for a second. Is there anything in your past that happened to you that was really rough that you might want or need to forgive somebody for? Raise hands. Yeah, that's pretty much all of us. And it makes me think of, you know, the example in the Bible, Joseph. We've heard this Joseph story many times, but poor old Joseph, when he was 17, you know, his brothers were not so nice to him. In fact, they were mean to him. And they talked to him meanly. And one day he was coming from afar off. His dad told him to come see his brothers. And they threw him in a well. It's really nice. It's really awesome, brothers. How many had some older siblings that were not so nice? You know, they threw him in the well. Not only did they throw him in the well, but thank God they didn't kill him, because that was the other plan. It was either kill him or throw him in the well. So the well was a better choice. But they threw him in the well. Then they decided to sell him to slavery. I mean, this can't get any better, really. Seriously, this is bad. And after all this happened, you know, I would think that he would think, well, this childhood hasn't been so great, you know. I was thrown in a well, sold in slavery. And thank God, even though I had some rough siblings sometimes, that didn't happen to me. I was never thrown in a well, almost killed, sold in slavery. Did that happen to anybody here? Hopefully not. If it is, let's talk. But that didn't happen to me. My sister used to sit on me and cuss me out. But other than that, you know, that's not that bad compared to the well and sold into slavery. You know, I'm sure many of you have been tortured by your loving, wonderful siblings. But thank God, Joseph, he had to have the power of forgiveness within him, because when he saw his brothers much later in life, he had already forgiven them. We know because of how he acted towards them. He had forgiven them so much that he embraced them and kissed them, each one of them, even the one that actually threw him in the well, you know. He embraced them, he kissed them, and he said he would provide anything that they needed, because it was a famine going on. Nobody had food. They were going to die. He had the power to squash them. He had the power to send them out to be hanged, killed, whatever, because he was right-hand man of Pharaoh. But instead, when he saw them, he wept. He cried. And he embraced them and he kissed them, and he was so glad to see them. I just was like, Joseph, this is too much for me. I mean, like, I don't know how you do that, because that is hardcore. I mean, if you had been sold into slavery and you had all the stuff happen to him, because you know there were more stuff that happened to him, he was in prison and all this stuff. I don't know if I'd have the same attitude, you know. I'd probably be a little bitter, just a little bit, or a little upset, just a little bit. And the first time I saw my brothers, it would not be a love session. It would be a, like, chew out session. Like, listen, when I was 17 and you threw me in the well, I'm tired of being treated this way. You know, I would be mad. But instead, he's telling them, you know, it's not your fault that God sent me ahead of you so that I could provide this for you. And I'm like, seriously, where does he get this? But I know where he gets it. But we just have to tap into it. It's the forgiveness of God. It's supernatural. It's bigger than ourselves. It's not a human thing, because a human can't forgive like that. But it is a God thing, and God can help us forgive like that. It's a power that we need from God. I think of people like Joyce Meyer. You know her story, right? Her dad, from the time she was very young, she can't really remember before this happened, but she was molested by her dad until way into her teenage years. And it happened so often. And in fact, she told her mother about it, and her mother didn't do anything about it. And then when she was 14, her mother actually walked in when it was happening. And she grabbed her purse and she walked out and left, and then came back 2 hours later and acted like nothing happened. I mean, think about that. I mean, like, to me, one of the worst thing I think that could happen to a child is to be molested when they're a kid. And I know that that's happened to a lot of people. But for it to happen over and over again, and then for your mom to know about it and not do anything about it, I mean, it just seems like it impounded the situation. And I know that she grew up with lots of self-esteem issues, guilt, hatred towards guys. I mean, think about it. You would too. But when she was older, much older, and she had already started her ministry, you know, she felt like she needed, you know, to talk to her dad and just say, you know, I forgive you. And she talked to her dad two different times, and said, I forgive you for what you did when I was younger. And she actually, you know, wasn't really expecting anything. And in fact, he didn't say he was sorry. He said, you know what, I really don't think it was that bad. I mean, that's pretty hardcore. I don't really see why you think that was bad. That's what he tells her. Seriously, Dad? But then later on, he was in the hospital on what they thought was his deathbed. And, you know, she comes to see him. She comes to talk to him. And one day, you know, they weren't at the hospital at the time, and her and her husband got a call and said, hey, Dad wants to see you right now. This is her mom. And when she came in, he told her, I'm sorry for what I did to you. I've wanted to say this for a long time, but I didn't have the guts. Then he looked at Dave, which is her husband, and began to weep and said, Dave, I'm sorry for what I did to you too. I'm sorry I hurt your wife. Please forgive me. I mean, it took a lot for him to say that. But when he was on his deathbed, what did he realize? Family is important. And a lot of people, when you're really sick and things are going on, the thing that's the most important to them, the work doesn't matter. The money doesn't matter. The fame doesn't matter. The glamour sure doesn't matter. But what matters most to them is their family. Who do they want to be around them? They call for their family. They say, I want to see you. And a lot of times it takes somebody being that sick for forgiveness to take place. And that's not what God designed. He doesn't want us to wait until that last minute to forgive. And it's not for that other person. In fact, it's more for you than it is anything. And I know it's not easy. Whew. I know it's not easy. I have my own situations that I had to forgive. My mom was mentally ill growing up. I took care of her most of the time. From the time I can remember, my sisters were older than me. And eventually they all left and went off, got married or went to school or whatever. And the sister that was closest to me, she was around, but she wasn't. She was into drugs and off partying all the time. And so it was left on my responsibility. Nobody asked me to do it, but I felt like it was my responsibility to take care of my mom. So I took care of my mom emotionally, physically. I'd pray for her. And, you know, and that's a lot for a 10, 11, 12-year-old to do, you know. But, you know, there was many times in my life I felt like, well, I didn't have mom, you know, like on the day when you're supposed to go shop for wedding dresses, you know, you have this imagine your mom being with you and y'all just being so excited, all this stuff. That didn't happen, of course, you know, like I went and shopped by myself. I didn't even have friends with me, you know, like those things. And yeah, there was a point where I was, you know, upset and resentful and kind of bitter about it because I'm like, I didn't have a childhood and this and that. But the truth is, my parents loved me. My parents did the very best that they could, and your parents did the same. They loved you so much. Even if they made wrong choices and even if they did wrong things, they still, most parents, love their children with all their heart. And they want the best for them. And even with rough stuff, I want us to remember that there is always good. I mean, we got to focus in on those good things that our parents have done for us or our family or a husband or our children. You know, a lot of times it's easy to look at our children's flaws, right? And kind of get on to them about all those flaws that they have. But to see people the way God sees them and to let that power of forgiveness flow. You know, it's pretty powerful when you actually have that forgiveness exchange. You know, when you meet with that person and you say, I forgive you for whatever you did. And even if they don't ever say they're sorry, there is a power that happens when you let go of things from the past. There is a power that happens. And maybe some of you have already let go of all those things, but I tell you, when I was preparing for this message, God dropped something in my heart about asking somebody else for forgiveness for something. And I'm like, okay, God, I got to be obedient. I'm teaching it, so I better be obedient to it. And so it was something I said to one of my siblings. And I probably didn't say it in the right way, or it probably didn't come across the right way, but it was in my heart to ask for forgiveness because I don't want there to be anything between me and my family because God believes family is important. And he cares about you, and he cares about your family, and he cares about your children, and he cares about your spouses. He cares about everybody that's involved in your family. And I know it's not easy. And I know that Jesus, when he told us how many times to forgive in Matthew 18, 21, 22, how many times did he tell us? 7 times 70. Or, and some translations say 77 times or 7 times 70. But that's a lot of times. In fact, it's so many times, it's almost like he's saying, this is impossible. Not impossible completely, but impossible in your own self. This is impossible. The only way to forgive, the only way to really forgive that many times is with God's help. Can't do it any other way. with God's supernatural help. He'll forgive. He'll help us to forgive others, and he'll help others to forgive us. Because how many know that you're not perfect? Me neither. I wish I was, and sometimes I pretend I am to Nate. You've been there, haven't you? But it seems impossible, but it's not. With God's help, it is possible. And the cool thing is like when Nate and I, we fight, we're arguing with each other, and he raises his voice and I raise my voice back, you know. Poor little Karis, she's like, "Daddy, stop being mean to mommy." And then one time, she was real little, like 2 years old. We were sitting in the car and we weren't yelling at each other. We were just arguing, you know, how you just raise your voice a little bit and you're just going back and forth and you're trying to discuss things, but it's getting a little bit more than talking normal, you know. And Karis just pops out of the back seat and she's like, guys, be nice. And I'm like, it takes your child to tell you to be nice. It's nice. And so I know, like, there's times where you're trying to figure out what the other person is even thinking, you know, because you try to communicate with them and they're thinking one thing and you're trying to think, you know, it just gets all confusing sometimes. Like, I don't understand what you're saying, you know. You've been there. But you're arguing and all this stuff, and then you're mad at each other and nobody wants to talk to each other. You've been there, right? Or you give each other the cold shoulder and you do go about your business, but you're not talking. You've been there? No, not y'all. Y'all would never be there. But then something powerful happens and one person bites the bullet, right? And says, "I'm sorry." And when that one "I'm sorry" happens, it's almost like there's a release of something, it's like an empowerment to forgive almost. And then the other person says, "Well, I'm sorry," you know, and then you passionately hug each other. No, just kidding. Then you forgive and you feel better. Do you not feel better when you forgive? Does it feel like, it feels like a weight is lifted off of you and you feel like a new person? But I found that when you forgive each other, there's also a power there in agreement. Because usually what happens is we fight, we say we're sorry, and then we pray. Why didn't we pray before? But then we pray. And we pray, and we're praying about the situation, and it's like power is released, and, you know, that situation is, we don't even think about it anymore. And then usually God takes care of that situation pretty quickly. So, you know, when I'm talking about forgiveness, sometimes it's on easy things like that when you're fighting with your spouse. Sometimes it's on a lot harder things that are deep down in, or things that people have done that's happened way over time. But it's time now to let forgiveness rule in your heart and not let bitterness and anger and all that can come with that be in your heart. And I take it to another thing, because a lot of times you can forgive others quickly, but when it comes to yourself, you don't want to forgive yourself because you're hard on yourself. And you feel like the things that you've done in your past or things that you have been through are unforgivable. But the truth is, they're not. And you know that. But it's just hard. Because when you make mistakes, you get mad. Especially if you're a Christian, right? Because you're like, I need to be acting better than this. You get mad at yourself, but it's okay to forgive yourself. As parents, we make a lot of mistakes, and there's times where we get angry and we say things or do things that we shouldn't do, and we got to be able to say I'm sorry and speak to our children and tell them that we're sorry. The thing is, God, when he gave us his forgiveness, it was free. Thank the Lord that we didn't have to pay for our forgiveness. So the forgiveness that you give others, should it come at a price? Don't a lot of times when we want to forgive somebody, we want to get them to do something, right? In order for us to forgive them. Our forgiveness shouldn't come in at a price. Just like you have freely received, freely give, right? So we got to freely give our forgiveness. Our forgiveness to our parents for being dysfunctional. Yay. Our forgiveness to our siblings for being really mean and throwing us in a well. Or sitting on us and cussing at us. Forgiveness to our children when they mess up and do whatever. Forgiveness to our spouse, to our boyfriend, girlfriend, wherever you're at. Forgiveness for yourself. Because it's important to forgive yourself. And then sometimes when we forgive ourselves, it gives us the power to forgive others. Because a lot of times, like I think about with Joyce Meyer and her situation, she had a lot of guilt and shame that came with what happened to her. And she probably had to forgive herself because she feel like it's your fault. And you feel like, you know, that she could have done something to stop it, you know. But you got to forgive yourself. And when this life is over and you're gone out of here, none of the material things, none of the things that we worry about day to day are going to matter a bit, right? The only thing that truly is worth life is our family, whatever that means to you. Whether your spouse or your parents or your siblings or whatever. The only thing that's really going to matter, that's only going to go with us to heaven, all those things, is your family. And so I just want to challenge you today to listen in your heart. Think about where you could ask for forgiveness or forgive yourself or forgive others, and make a declaration that you're not going to allow any more time to go by before you make things right. Because like many of you know, we're promised a satisfied long life, but not everybody that you know knows that promise or declares that promise or whatever. And there's things that happen to people around us, and we want to make sure that we have used the power that God has given us to forgive. If you get the chance, I want you to read in Matthew. I'm going to have some scriptures for you that you can take home. Because just like we were talking about on Sunday, I want you to kind of meditate on this. And I want you to feed your spirit. And as you feed your spirit, the faith will come that you need. And also your mind will be renewed to this. That the power that you need is all within the scripture.